Bibles today, Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22. We're going to begin in verse 34. Matthew 22, verse number 34. This is a familiar passage to you. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, as we're given here the law of our Lord and what our lives are to be governed by, as He gives these two commandments to us here in this passage. And I want us to particularly focus on the first one today, as He gives us this direction here in this passage. Verse 34, He says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment of the law?'" Now the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't get along together. They had different philosophies in regards to their religion. They had different doctrine in regards to how they would serve the Lord, but they were both considered authorities among the Jews. And so because they didn't get along too well together, when He silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees saw that as their opportunity to get the upper hand over the Sadducees. And so it's our turn now. We'll see if we can't stump Him. And so they asked the question, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" To which the Lord answered him, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so our Lord gives us here clear instruction in how we are to serve our Lord. It is what we call the law of love. To love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And the second, He said, is likened to it: love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so He asked, what's the greatest? And Jesus summed it all up. He put it all together and said, this is what it's all about: to love the Lord and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, man in his state of original creation was able to accomplish this high calling. But in the state of depravity, it is an impossibility to love God with this love that He is calling us to here in verse 37. Because, very plainly, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 7, Paul tells us here in this passage, he says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." The carnal mind is at enmity with God. It's not capable. The mind, the depraved mind, the mind of the flesh is not able to love God as He is called to love Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says there in verse number 14, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. He says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so being in a state of depravity, being in a place that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, that without Christ, in that state of the natural man, that which we gained from Adam because of that sin's passed on to us from Adam. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sins. In that state, in that natural state, in man's born state, in the state that he lives in his depraved nature and his depraved mind, he is incapable and it is impossible for him to love God as Christ Jesus says to do. We cannot keep this law in ourselves. We don't have the ability to. We don't have the strength to. Left to himself, man cannot do so because he is dead in trespasses and sins. And so we read in 1 John chapter number 4, and verse number 19, how this then is accomplished. This is a law that the Lord gives us. This law, he tells us, is what we must do to follow after our Lord. We must love our Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so how do we do this? John writes here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19, how this is accomplished. He says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We can only meet this requirement that our Lord is speaking of here in Matthew 22. We can only do that when he has first come to us and revealed his love for us. It is only in that work of salvation, when Christ Jesus comes to us and makes himself known to our hearts, it is only then that we are able to have that love for him. And by the way, it comes. I mean, it's there when he makes himself known to us. To love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Let's go to him in a word of prayer now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us. We're thankful for this opportunity again to come in your house today. So thankful for each soul that's made it this way this morning. We pray that you would help us, Father, as we gather together today, as we open your word, as we look at these passages of Scripture, Father, we learn from it what you've given for us in this. We pray that you help us to be a people that loves you, that seeks your will, that seeks your purpose in our lives, that we would be found faithful, Father, to follow after this law that you have given unto us, that it would indeed be the desire of our hearts to fulfill these things that you've written herein. Father, forgive us of our many sins and our many shortcomings. How often, Father, we come short of your glory. Help us to serve you this day as we've met together. Father, if there be any lost in our midst this day, we ask, Father, that you, by your grace, might reveal unto them Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they might know this love even this very day. Go with us now as we look to your word. Direct us by your Spirit, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this direction that Jesus gives here in this law, verse 37. When he says that we are to love our Lord, he tells us here that we are to love him with all of ourselves. That's he speaks of every part of us in our love for our Lord. In other words, there's a lot of people with a mindset that they can love the Lord with a little of themselves. I'll give him this much. Rest is for me. The rest is for my job. The rest is for my family. The rest is for my home. The rest is for this and that. But I'll give him this much of me. We often hear the idea of prioritizing our lives and having those things in order, you know, what we are, how we are to live, and those priorities to us, and where we put our most effort, where we strive the hardest to be. And we always hear people listing God as first. God's first, and then family, and so on. And we go on down the list there of our priorities that we set up. Let me make this clear as I can make it anyway. God is not on the list of those priorities. He has it all. The priorities come after Him, you see. That's where we begin to number them. He's first in everything. He has it all. All of us belongs to Him, you see. There's no part that we can hold back for ourselves. There's no portion that we can say, well, Lord, I've got to prioritize. I'm going to give you this much, and then I'll save this part for us. No, He's got it all. It all belongs to Him. Every aspect, every part of our beings belongs to Him. And this is what the Lord tells us here in this passage, because He goes on to tell us that we have to love Him, love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind here in this passage. We see here, first of all, the heart. That means all of our affections, all of our desires to Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the chief of all of our emotions, you see. We are to give all of our hearts to Him. All of our affections, all of our desires belong to Him. The second, He says, is the soul, with all our life. Ready to give up life. Ready to give up comforts. Ready to give up conveniences and quality of life. Ready to give up breath itself, if that's what it means to love our Lord. With all our soul. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 and Luke chapter 10 and verse number 27, this same passage here, He adds another word in those two passages with the word strength. The word strength. That means we are to give Him our health. We are to give Him our wealth. We are to give Him our time. We are to give Him our body, our labor, our service, everything to honor, all of our strength to honor our Lord. And then mind, He says, our intellect. We are to apply ourselves to know God, to know His character, to know His attributes, to know His will, receiving readily His word and His truth as we seek Him out, as we desire to find out more about Him, putting aside the thoughts of the flesh and worldliness that comes into our hearts and our minds, putting aside all of that, dying to that, and putting on the mind of Christ. And so with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our strength, with all our mind, with every part of us, we are to give that to our Lord. We are to love Him with those things, those parts. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6 here. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, this law that our Lord's calling us to, what he's telling us here, what Solomon is writing for us here in verses 5 and 6 here about trusting in him with every part of us, with all of our heart, leaning not on our own understanding, not trusting what we know, not trusting what we know, what we think to be true, but rather trusting him and believing him. Instead of trying to make sense out of it from a worldly perspective, we're to make sense out of it from a godly perspective. We're to look at life, we're to look at the things in our life, we're to look at each and every day of our life from the perspective of God's Word. That's what he's telling us here in this passage. Now, this is where wisdom lies, you see. To trust him, to follow him. But in order to do that, in order to give all of ourselves to that, in order to trust him fully with these things that come in our lives, when we are, whatever path that we may find ourselves on in life, we are to trust it to the Lord and let him direct us. Let him guide us. Let him give us that direction. Let him give us that wisdom that we can follow after him in. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This takes faith. This takes faith. Because we have to get to a place where we can let go. Where we can let go of the reins and say, Lord, I'm following you. I trust you. I love you, Lord. And so it takes faith to trust him. It takes faith to follow him. It takes faith to love him with all of ourselves. Because, as I said, we like the idea of following the Lord. We like the idea of his love for us. We like the idea that Christ Jesus has died for us. We like those ideas, but we want to hang on to us just a little bit. And so we'll give, Lord, I'll give you this much of my heart. And Lord, I'll give you this much of my mind. And I'll give you this much of my strength. And I'll give you this much of my will. And I'll give you this much of me. And we hold back pieces and parts that we still want to hold on to to get whatever direction we're getting. To follow whatever path we're following. We want to hold on to those little pieces. Or maybe big pieces. Maybe big pieces. But to love him. To love him is to give him all of ourselves. With all thy heart. With all thy soul. With all thy mind. Every part of our life. Every part of our faculties to the love of our God. He owns it all. It all belongs to him. Now there are effects that this brings in our lives. The effects of such a love that we would give him all of ourselves. Circumstances that come, situations that arise in our life, they affect us. And thereby they affect our love for him. But it shouldn't be the case, and it doesn't have to be the case. It shouldn't be the case, and it doesn't have to be the case. And so, when we are truly loving him, as he has called us to do, when we are giving all of ourselves to him, heart, mind, soul, strength, when we're giving all of that to our Lord, it affects how we feel toward him. Before salvation, before the new birth, before Christ Jesus comes to us, the reality is we did not love God. We may have known of Him. We may have heard about Him. We may have learned of Him in Sunday school, or from our parents, or from our grandparents, or maybe from Billy Graham on television, wherever we might have seen Him and heard from Him at one point in life, and we think, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I think I love that God that does something like that. And we like the idea of Him, and we like what it says. We truly don't love Him without that salvation that comes. We don't know Him without that salvation that comes in Christ Jesus. And so as He draws us to Himself, we are able then to see and to realize His love for us. We see what He's done for us. We see what He's accomplished on our behalf. And then when we see His love for us, it ignites in us our love for Him, you see. Creates that love. We love Him because He first loved us. And so it ignites that love in us for Him. And when we love Him, as the Lord says here, He becomes then the chief of our affections and our desires. It affects how we feel toward Him. Notice Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 8 down through verse number 11. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Paul says, Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, or I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He becomes, you see, the chief of our affections and our desires. We find then, when we understand truly His love for us, and that love in us grows for Him, what Paul is saying here is, I'm willing to lay everything else down for Christ. I'll follow Him. I'll serve Him. I'll love Him. I'll do what He says to do. That's what's worked by that new birth. Now, obviously we can get into a place where we start feeling more self. And we start saying, well, maybe I'm giving God too much. Maybe I'm just letting Him have too much of me, and even God's people can find themselves in this situation where we start drawing back ourselves from the Lord, and we start holding back ourselves from Him, and we start living for self just a little bit more. And we'll come up with all kinds of excuses why. All kinds of excuses of why. But all they are is excuses. We cannot, and we are not, to live for self. We are to live for Christ. We are to live for Him. Because He has bought us. He has bought us to Himself. He has redeemed us by His grace. If He has saved your soul, you belong to Him, and you have no right over self. You are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must love him and follow him and serve him with all of you. With all of you. And so it affects how we feel toward him. But it also affects how we feel toward each other as well. Verse 39, he goes on to tell us here in our text, verse 39, is that second law, the second part of it, that we are to love our neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then 1 John 3 and verse 23, you don't have to turn over there, but John basically tells us there in 1 John 3 and verse 23 that if we don't do this one, we're not doing the first one. So in order to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, as we looked at this thought a few weeks ago, if we're going to do that first one, we have to do this second one, John says. Because if we're not doing this second one, if we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves, we can't claim that we're loving God with all of ourselves. He's pretty clear about that. So it affects how we feel toward each other because of this love that we have in Christ Jesus. We are then given a love for his people, particularly. We share in the same affections. Our spirits bear the same witness together of the love of God in us. Go over to 1 John 4 again. We read there just a moment ago, verse 19 of 1 John 4. Look with me, verse 21 to begin with. Here he says this again, verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now back up to verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So we see the sacrifice of Christ for us when we love him like we should. And we then see the love he has for our brethren. And it inspires our love then toward one another. Because we're sharing the same things. We're sharing the same hope. We're sharing the same affections. We're sharing the same realities of who we are in Christ Jesus. And that love that we have for our Father gives us then that love that we have for one another. As we've said before, we don't have any problem loving God. God's perfect, right? We're not. And so listen, we can't do verse 37. Okay? Verse 39 is even harder. Verse 39 is even harder. Because we're called to love people who are not perfect. But we have to constantly remind ourselves, oh yeah, I'm not either. We can't hold our brethren to a different standard than what we hold ourselves to. Except it's real easy. I mean, so easy for us to lower the standard for ourselves by making excuse or ignoring even our own sin. But it does not alleviate. No matter what comes, no matter what it is, it does not alleviate the command. Love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. As John says, if we don't do the second one, we're not doing the first one. It also affects how we live before God. When we love Him like we should, we see how our lives are truly not about us, but about Christ. And what we do for Him in our service to Him because of that love that He has for us. We're not to be living in our own strength, but rather in the strength of Christ Jesus. And when we understand truly how He loves us and truly how He has called us to love Him, it causes us to trust Him fully in the midst of the circumstances of life, in the valleys of life that we're going through. We cannot live for Him, but by His power. But by His power. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says there in verse 4 and verse 5 of this passage, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4 and verse 5. He says, "In such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Our sufficiency is of Him. As we've been looking there in John 15 and verse number 5 in our study on prayer, and we looked last week, I think, particularly even at this verse, the Lord says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Without me, ye can do nothing. So we must, as He tells us there in John 15, we must abide in Him. Abide in Him. And so it affects how we live before Him, that we are trusting in Him, that we are holding on to Him, realizing we do not have the strength in ourselves to love Him and to serve Him as He's called us to, that we need Him. It also affects how we serve Him. His guidance, His truth, His word. For the child of God, those things are to be our priority in our service to Him. And we're going to follow what He says. Not what I think. Not how I surmise it. Not how I've got it all figured out. Not by the dictates or the wisdom of the world and what the world has figured out, but rather what God says. That's what I have to live by. And so our service to Him becomes our primary purpose above everything else. Church and service and study and prayer and witnessing and living for Him takes precedence over all the cares of this world. Over our jobs, over our friends, even over our families. Christ is first. It all, as I've said already, it all belongs to Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're to give ourselves, he says, as a living sacrifice for the service of our God. He already owns us. We already belong to him. He's purchased us with his own blood. And so Paul says the very least that we can do, the reasonable service, he calls it, is to give all of ourselves to him. Amen. To give all of ourselves to him. To follow him, to serve him, to yield our will, to yield our bodies to the service of our Lord. Willing to follow him down every road and perform every service that he gives to us to the glory of his name. So then how do we love him like we should? How do we fulfill this commandment that the Lord gives us here in verse number 37? It must be our desire. It must be our prayer. Each and every day as we come to him, as we come before his throne, it should be our very prayer that we bring before him is, Lord, help me love you today like you've called me to love you. Lord, help me to serve you today like you've called me to serve you. It must be our desire. It must be our prayer. And it can only be by the power of Christ in us. Holding on to him. Abiding in him. Now we say it's our desire. And we say it is our prayer. When often we are putting, even though we say it's our desire and say it's our prayer, often already putting other priorities ahead of him. Putting other priorities above our love even for God. And you can't love him. You can't fulfill this verse without first having Christ Jesus as Lord. You have to have his salvation. You have to have Christ. Or you're not even in the same ballpark. You have to have Christ. Or you will not love him like he's called you to love him. You won't love him at all. But that you have Christ Jesus our Lord. So you have to have him. And it is in the realization of that love he has for us that causes, again, our love for him. And so the problem arises, though, again, as we see, the problem arises that our own flesh, our self, rises up and it starts to pull back just a little bit. Wait a minute now. I'm giving God too much here, and I'm giving God too much. I just need. Now, he understands. He understands I'm tired. He understands I need to take care of me. He understands I'm. And we start pulling back, claiming we know what God thinks. And we start pulling ourselves back from him. But the Lord does not want parts of you. He does not demand parts of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. And so he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Do you love him today? Do you love Christ Jesus today? As he said to love him. Are you giving him all of yourselves? What parts are you holding back? What parts are you keeping to yourself? It's the reason that we have to every day, Paul tells us every day, we have to die to self and live unto Christ Jesus. Every single day. And that's a struggle. That's a struggle because self is strong in our own thinking, in our own hearts. Self is strong. It's hard to die to self. But it's what we must do. It's what we must do to live for Christ. Dying to self, living unto Christ, loving Him with all, with every part of our being. Do you love Him today? Do you love Him today? Is He your King today? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus. Let's all stand. Brother Gordon, would you bring us a song?